Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 11.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast number 11. I am Brendan Lowe and I am your host, and that was me playing trumpet in the beginning. So, I love trumpet. I'm a pretty terrible trumpet player. I can barely play at all, but I can play notes, you know. So I was playing the lick that you hear all the time on the trumpet. So it doesn't even sound like a trumpet. It sounds like kazoo, basically. The way I was playing it, but yes, that was a trumpet. So, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. In this episode, I was just recently at Reno, the Reno Jazz Festival, and I was playing there. I love going to these festivals because they always have guest artists and master classes and clinics and stuff like that. So, Avishai Cohen was the guest artist, and he did two master classes. The first one, I kind of made it halfway through, so I recorded that one, and that is what is going to be in this episode, part one. In part two, you're going to hear, I'm going to post the full second masterclass that he did, in which I thought was a little bit better. He talks, he explains questions more. There's some better questions asked throughout that masterclass, so it's a great masterclass. You can learn a lot of things from him. He's a great trumpet player, and it's a little hard to hear just because he's from Israel, so he has an accent, and the mic he was using wasn't that great. So I cranked up the volume, so I hopefully you guys can hear it okay. But if you need to, just adjust the volume, and hopefully you can make out the words he's saying. We are associated with the website, www.jazzpianoschool.com. You haven't checked it out. If you haven't checked it out, I encourage you to do that. And we have video lessons there. We have notated music for the video lessons and a forum. And there's going to be a lot more stuff coming. All the podcast episodes are there on the website with the show notes as well. So you can also get on the email list if you go to the website. And we send out a lot of bonus content, voicings, gig analysis, different types of videos, lesson videos that aren't on the website, go through the email list as well. So I'm going to get right into the masterclass with Avishai Cohen, and he has a little band that he performs with too, so that's really nice to hear him play. And then that's more at the end of this episode, but he plays in the very beginning of the next episode, which will be part two, so you can kind of hear both. But again, this masterclass kind of jumps right in, and I believe the question that someone asked, because I just started recording after the question, was, does the music that you grew up with in Israel, has that been integrated into your playing? Because you lived there for a while and it's, you know, there's a lot of foreign music there. So was that integrated into your playing? Does it come out in your solos and when you're writing as well? So here we go, and let's get into that masterclass.
My own way I look at it, I don't find the Israeli music or my necessarily music from Israel that obvious in my playing as it is or for some of my contemporaries, Omer Avital, Leon Moore, or Klein, or Gilad Eisenstein, and my sister. I hear the Israeli vibe more present in their music than it is mine. However, I'm not trying to resist that. I mean, I grew up in that place. When I was there till I was 18, and I was definitely affected. You just open the radio and you're affected whether you want it or not. I did not do anything to not be affected by it. But I feel, I might be wrong, right? It's in the eye of the beholder, but I feel that there's other influences that are not necessarily less present in my writing, like West African music, Bob Marley, Bjork, Radiohead, Led Zeppelin, classical music, you know, Brahms, Mahler, Mozart, Beethoven. And yes, some Israeli music, and of course, jazz. So to me, this is just another element, but some people, you know, some people hear it differently, that's fine. I'm not, there's really not no way to calculate how much of it is in your music, but that's fine, it's part of it. The other element, the tradition of jazz, is definitely a main thing that that's main source of traditional jazz. Is like it's tradition, it's a language, and this is the language I speak. Whether I want it or not, this is what I play. I play different kind of music. I like to play pop and rock and electronic music and reggae and many other things. But the way I approach it is always it's coming from jazz. There's no way around it. There's swing and playing, and there's I have for a long time I was a little bit frustrated with jazz, and I was looking for different outlets. And at one point I think I fell in love with it again by listening a lot to WPGO and just in my car putting some jazz, or in my iPod I would always choose other things and listen to Charlie Parker again. Actually I fell in love with that music again and wanted it to be a bigger part of what I do. So that's when I started my trio, Trivany, and I wanted it to be that to be the starting point. We also play different stuff. The next album has some effects of dubs and singer and a few guests, so it's a little bit different, but still the essence of the way we play is a trio playing, everything goes. And we recorded this during the studio. It was just like I told him they have this motif, it's in D minor, it's playing room one day. And then we do it, you know, it happened to be a day, every other day, it does sound differently. I think that the other reason why jazz is so present in my playing is just the amount of time I spent learning this language and learning this tradition. It's there's really no shortcuts. There's no way you can learn it any other way but listening to it a lot and trying and playing and learn more, and then another song, another key, another scale, another meet another musician and transcribe another solo, another solo, another musician, and do sessions with friends. When I went to college, my main thing was just the practice room, do sessions all day long. So I finish school at 4 until midnight. We'll just go from this session to this session to this session. So there's like any other language, it's not anything you can learn in a book. There's books about jazz, of course, but it's a language. You know, you can read a book about, you know, trying to study French, but if no one speaks to you, you will never speak French the real way. There's no way you learn how to swing without listening to Jimmy Joe, without listening to Elvin Jones, without listening to Louis Armstrong, without hearing Billie Holiday, and Ellen, Sarah Vaughan. There's no really no other way. You know, there's no really no shortcuts, and I think that's also the beautiful thing about it. You know, to spend time, and then if you're lucky, you can make it your
beginning. The trumpet's a very challenging instrument. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about your own history in learning to play, whether you had any problems with endurance or training.
Problems with it every day. How many trumpet players do you have?
Jesus!
Hello. So yes, I'm happy to share some thoughts with you and trumpet. Classical music, so I was exposed to different type of attitude towards the trumpet. I struggled with this horn for many years. Still, when I was younger, range problems was one of them. And I always got an okay sound, but I was always trying to open it up and make it easier. And also, the most important thing, I guess, I was pushing, you know, to put a lot of pressure on my lips. And all of you trumpet players or trombone players know that feeling, right? How it is, so you cannot play for so long and it just hurts. It sucks to play music when it hurts. It's not supposed to hurt. For many, many years, maybe till about 2-3 years ago, my main practice was just, I would say, 90% horn-related sound, and all my jazz study was just from transcribing and from playing sessions. I didn't spend too much time at home just playing jazz, it was hard for me to do. How many of you do it, like, at home, besides practicing and learning tunes, etc., really get to a playing mode where you just, as if you're performing, but you're by yourself? How many of you do that? Yeah, it's hard. I mean, for me, it's actually still hard for me. In a way, I get used to needing an audience to get that feeling. But then I kind of solved just by when I was in New York and my first daughter was born. I didn't have time during the day really to practice and. 6-7, she's going to sleep. So I used to go down to the subway and practice there. I used to do it around 2 in the morning with, you know, this stop in Williamsburg. There's not that many people at that hour. But that was perfect for me. So even just getting one person is there and the other track, just sitting there waiting for the track, that's for me is enough to put myself in a performance. Well, also trumpet is a very loud instrument, so now when I'm home, just knowing that it's being heard outside, neighbors or whoever it is, that's enough for me. But most of my study is, most of my practice was just, and still is kind of, it's just dealing with the trumpet. If I have 1 hour, I'll work on the sound. If I have 2 hours, I'll work on the sound, you know, sound technique. Getting the horn, trying to make it feel easy. And if I have more than that, maybe I'll get to do other things. And so I take breaks and I compose a lot. The main thing I kind of do is play on the mouthpiece. This is something I realize not many people do, and you should definitely spend some time doing that. I can demonstrate actually.
Thank you. must be note today. So if you learn to sing and know what to sing later on, you apply the horn.
Thank you.
I was figuring what I do, you know, so I know where I'm at. Again, it's not a random thing, you know. This is a, I played a 3C for a long time, and I've been to the Yamaha factory in Japan, and Marcus was giving me a little trouble, but I hate switching stuff. I never switch unless it breaks. I used to play my back for many years, and it kind of died, so I moved on. Marcus was not, I didn't really want to change, so I molded my old 3C. So this, everything here looks like my old 3C, but it's in the Yamaha. Biggest influences from trumpet. Sorry. Start with Louis Armstrong. If you want to learn anything about how to swing on the trumpet, this is definitely where you want to start. It's amazing, but Louis Armstrong is the way he swings the quarter notes. You know, it's when you listen to it, it sounds like the easiest thing, and actually the hardest thing, much harder to swing the quarter notes than it is to swing the eighth notes. So definitely Louis Armstrong, Miles Davis, big influence on me, my idol. Singing, cooking, working, walking, all those albums with the first quintet and the second quintet, major influence on me. People always talk about Miles, and he's like, you know, his mind, his broad thinking, and trumpet player, you know, because of all the stories about this, you know, this is well playing, you can do with an octave lower, and when people are not trumpet players, I'm talked down about his actual trumpet playing, but to produce the tone you produce on the trumpet, that's a lifelong process, the hardest thing. Art Farmer, Chet Baker, Lee Morgan, Clifford Brown, Clark Terry, Thad Jones, Chet Baker. Lori Flint is she's my mentor. She's everyone who ever took a lesson with me know how much I talk about her, because all my approach to the trumpet, I started studying with her in my 20s, maybe mid-20s or something, so it's not the early education with her. And I came to write the album to play already. But I always talk about it. I was very nice with my son. I'm like, oh, Laurie would say that, and this and this. And so I love this woman. I miss her dearly. She's not with us anymore. The main thing is she was talking about treating the chops, the lips, your body more as an athlete rather than trying to make everything sound nice. I'm talking about that's when you're practicing. Obviously when you're playing a concert, do whatever you can to sound the best. So if you have to squeeze, you squeeze. If you have to push, you push. Then you learn how not to push. Then the concert, then that's showtime. You do whatever you need to get job done to sound the best you can at that time. However, when you practice, it's not always about producing the best sound. So you can do a an exercise like this. So the most important thing for example in this exercise is in general in playing, try to keep everything at the same position, not move so much. You might end up moving a little bit, climbing very high, yes, you move a little bit, you're going very low. You move and try to keep the movement for at the minimum. So in this exercise, the most important thing is to take over the air and blow through this exercise and not change anything. So if the note cracks, it's okay. It's like it's not about, oh, what do I need to change to make that note come out? So that would be a mistake in a way, because you can change things, change position, or you might be more late, less late. You could always deal with that. I mean, I would say just find your natural way you play. I take a clef, middle clef G as my center note. And try to keep my bass as it is in this position. Breathing. It's free. choir. So I don't think I change anything. I just make sure I agree the same amount of air. You can, it's really hard to describe like some of the differences, but you know, when you play softly, you still catch even more with the air support. So you want the notes to project and resonate. You have to use air to even play super, super soft.
Sound. So I would see the piano maybe.
spend time with the chord. You know, it's simply not just like
later on try to play that
in your solo, obviously that would be a very wrong approach. I don't encourage trying to play anything while you're performing that you practiced or you transcribed. You know, like I said yesterday in the class, if you have a killing phrase and you just work out and the minor key and you come to time for the song, and, oh, no, I'm going to play that phrase when I get to that. Those things always end up to be horrible, never work. and the reason for that is that we're playing with a band. You know, you can have this phrase that you figured out. Piano player plays a different voice saying that you do not expect, and it sounds, it's pre-made. So definitely, this is not the purpose of transcribing. The way I look at it, unless you are, I'm sure none of you is, and I wasn't either, unless you're growing up with the masters around you. My friend is Nasheed Waits, he's my drummer in the band. His father is a drummer, Freddie Waits, he's to hang with Max Roach, and all the masters just as a kid, you go and you sit in the session, and they're all there, they're playing. So if you're a direct connection to that, and you hear Max Roach playing the cymbal next to your ear for many years, you might not need to transcribe because that thing is in you. But since I grew up in Tel Aviv, without Till Ari Lawrence came, and no one to look up to and learn really about swinging, I got everything I know from transcribing. I'm a huge supporter of that system. You learn many, many things by doing it. In fact, I can easily say to all of you that this is by far most of how I learned how to play jazz. Like some teacher at age 14 showed me something for changes, and I started to understand a little bit, but the real essence of this music, I did not have any teacher to show it to me. So my teachers were the more like Clifford Brown and Miles and the old people I mentioned before, later on different instruments. You get a lot from transcribing. The ear training process is one thing, but it's not the whole thing. The analyzing the solo later, it's a great thing, you can always take some stuff from it, but it's not the whole thing. You know, you can, if you like a phrase, you can analyze it and see, oh, why? Like, oh, wow, okay, that's a 2-5, so you go 5 to the minus 3, things. So you can analyze like that, which is a fun thing to do, and you can later on, if you do that, and you analyze it by, degrees and stuff, you can later on play any key you want. And you can practice certain phrases that you like in all keys, and that's great. But the main thing about it is to learn how to articulate, and how to produce sound, and how to swing. There's no other way to learn how to swing by listening to it. So I highly recommend you not only to transcribe, but to transcribe a lot, is make sure you play with tape after, okay? Not once, play till you can play it perfectly. It's not just the time, how you lay the notes, what kind of vibrato they use. Wow, you more than play with this kind of vibrato. Oh, okay, people similar, but not quite the same thing. Miles flat, sometimes you use it. Oh, let me, how do you get it? Just play with it, try to match it as perfectly as you can. And so it takes some time. First, you know, spend time, play a few times. You get all the right notes, that's after you transcribe it, right? Whether you transcribe by handwriting or by ear, plenty of time to make sure you get all the right notes. Then you make sure you're in time. Then you keep going, you get more and more till you get the right articulation. How does it play that first note? Okay. More, right? two characters in a sentimental mood, give me one of my favorite movies. We'll read a lot about it. It's a whole world of imagination, and his influence on American music is beyond imagination. So check out Duke Ellington if you can.
So there you have it. That was Avishai Cohen, trumpet player. If you guys enjoyed the podcast or if you've enjoyed other podcasts, I'd really appreciate it if you can go on iTunes and give me a rating of 5 stars. I'm trying to spread the word to as many people as possible, and the ratings definitely helps the search engine rank for the podcast. So the more 5-star ratings we can get, the more people we can reach and educate together. So I'd really appreciate that, guys. Until next time, as always, thanks so much and happy practicing.